Christ's precious name, it's good to gather together, even though some of us were a little late, and it's still, I don't know, something about winter and falling snow. It's just a beautiful, peaceful time to me, I believe, and I enjoy it. Past several weeks, I've been thinking a little bit, I guess. I love Christmas, December, I guess, all it, but just the Christmas season, I guess we'll call it that. There's the getting ready, you know, the children are excited, you know, school's going to have a break, there's all the things they want to do over the Christmas holidays, you know, there's family get-togethers. And there's lots of preparations that go in, probably. But I guess something that I enjoy is you go to certain places, maybe a coffee shop, and they go out of their way to just put that little feel to it, you know, a little Christmas feel. And it often makes me think of peace, I guess. And as I thought about this morning, Last night I had looked on the news a little bit, and there was a shooting in Rhode Island at a school, or a high school, I guess. This morning there was another one in Australia, and it just struck me. There's no peace. You know, for the ones that were affected, the homes, the families, there's no peace, probably, a lot of them. But maybe there's Christian homes. I don't know. Maybe it was that some of them students were from Christian homes that they realize that there's a higher power. But it doesn't, if you browse any on the news or read the newspaper or anything, it doesn't take long. You realize there's not much peace in this world. And I believe through this time, through this season, many people are drawn to someone that has peace because it's something that they want. You know, you don't have to work in the workforce very long. And if you just befriend anyone, just start a conversation, there's just so many that don't have peace. Their story is pain, hurting over maybe their spouse left them, their children don't come home, whatever it is, there's just a lot of pain. Isaiah, let's turn to Isaiah for just starters this morning. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is my title this morning. How can I have this peace? How can I portray this peace that only comes from Christ? Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. What a beautiful story. You think about Christ's birth, and you know, I think maybe sometimes what brings a little sense of peace is a lot of people are okay with thinking of Christ in the manger. As long as it doesn't get past that much, they're okay with that. They like to talk about, you know, this little baby. A little baby is peace. Any baby. It's peace. It's joy. It's thankfulness. It's so many things. But these verses make it very... Verse 7, the increase of his government peace, there shall be no end. In other words, God would rule. And I believe he's talking about my life here, your life, each one of us. You know, if we allow God or Christ to rule our hearts, he is the Prince of Peace. His ruling brings peace. And you think of Prince of Peace, if you look that up, it means no higher peace. Shortening it up a little bit. But this is an Old Testament prophecy here. And Isaiah's, you know, as I believe as he looked ahead, he looked at what God, the plan God was going to bring to pass. I believe his heart was filled with joy back then, as much as maybe ours today. He knew that something would come that would bring peace, everlasting peace. You know, jump into the New Testament. You know, Jesus' disciples, you think of it in Christ's time, his disciples lived in a time of war, time of slavery, actually, for the Israelites. And a lot of it was poverty, too. It was hard to get ahead under Roman rule with the taxes and unfair tax collectors. As a slave, you just don't get ahead. Uncertainty was around them, I believe, you know. They dreamed of a king that would come save them. That's why a lot of them flocked to Christ, because they heard the king was coming, and then his words kept them there. Because why? Because that peace attracted them. My peace I give to you, not as the world. This John 14. Let's look at that verse, actually. I can't quote it. Verse 27. You know what, let's jump back and just read a couple of verses with this. Start reading verse 23. Jesus answered, said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We'll just stop there. What a beautiful promise Christ told his disciples there. My peace, he said, it's you can have that. It's not that there's this unattainable level that we try to reach, that we're just always just trying to get to that peace. He said, you can have my peace there. He says, it's not something you're going to find. You know, I think of it so often, and I thought of this illustration this morning, but think of a credit card advertisement. You know, I remember when I was younger, I don't see them in the mail anymore, but we used to get these credit cards. You know, you were pre-approved for whatever. And they would have this, you know, you could go on holidays, you could do it, and they have beautiful pictures. I haven't seen many people that use credit cards very peaceful, if you know what I mean. They don't bring peace. Someone that gets trapped into a credit card debt doesn't find peace, and you definitely don't find it using a credit card. But I often thought about what they represented as peace, how the opposite it actually was. Credit cards can be used well. I have some too. I'm not saying that, but they don't bring peace, and they usually don't bring that beautiful picture that they tried to portray there in their advertisement. Anyhow, back to our message. If Jesus came as the Prince of Peace, why is the world characterized by violence? Why is there so much? You know, my heart just broke this morning as I read that. Well, last night I'd read about the first shooting, then this morning the second one. And to be a parent and get that phone call, you would need Christ, I believe. Why are people's hearts filled with turmoil? How can we have peace? So, well, if you look around you, it's hard to think about. I believe to understand peace, we need to realize it originates with Jesus Christ. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, in this world that you can buy, that you can get the most beautiful little, whatever you dream of, ranch or house by a lake or whatever, and separate yourself from the world. At the end of the day, you're still yourself there, and you need to find peace one way or the other. And it only comes in Christ, through Christ. There's a few simple points I want to just talk about. I You know, before we can have the peace of Christ in our hearts, we need to have peace with God. And Jesus' purpose in coming was to provide that. His life story was set up so that you and I could have peace. He paid our debt. And, you know, each one of us, the reason if we go to bed at night and lay our head down and we don't have peace, it's because we know we owe something. We know there's something there that we owe that needs taken care of. But Christ took that battle away if we confess our sins, if we ask for forgiveness, if we maybe stop insisting on having our own way, maybe. How do we get that? I believe we have to realize that Jesus needs to be our daily source of peace. And we gain that through a relationship with him. We need to be connected with Christ. We need to, and I realize these are nothing, this isn't a new sermon, something that, but peace, for some reason, is something that we can lose very easily. John 14, verse 27, let's jump, we were there already, but back to those verses. If you're still there, that's fine, but the promise of comfort, my Bible titles it, but my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. You know, you think about that. There is no way we are here in this world. We will have hardships. We're going to have things that want to tear us down. We're going to have things that bother us. We're going to have things that want to destroy our peace. And it takes Christ to make a difference. There's no way to avoid that. But we can have peace because it's possible. Because Jesus came to live in us through the presence of his Holy Spirit this morning. You think about that. He said his comforter would come there in verse 26. The comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said to you. In other words, Christ said, the Holy Spirit will be there with you. We have someone that will guide us. We have someone that can lift us up. We have someone that can bring peace. And a thought here, this word peace in this translated in the New Testament means to bind or weave together. That challenged me. In other words, for me to have peace in my life, I believe, my soul needs to be bound together with Christ and with his Holy Spirit. Tear one, it's not going to work. There's no peace. When we are one with Jesus, we have the power to walk through dark things. We have the power to go through difficult times with peace. I guess this week also we were reading in our family devotions about peace. And there's numerous stories about people that went through such hard times. And I did not write it down, but the one story they shared, you know, this family, missionary family, was in, and I can't remember where it was, but they were in another country, and the war was, there was a serious civil war, and so they were planning on closing their mission down, and so the husband decided it was serious enough. He wanted to send his wife and children ahead back to England, I believe it was, and he was going to stay there. And it said, I believe it was the next Sunday, he had stood up and said that he had just received word that his family had gotten home safely. And it wasn't until later on in the week that his people at the mission found out that a Navy submarine had torpedoed the ship that they were on, and they had perished. But he knew they were all ready to meet Christ, and he believed they were in heaven. And that, you know, that challenged me to face that with peace in your heart. Romans 8:28, if you want to turn there a while. I want to bring out two things that, two points, I guess, maybe. Maybe, I guess, call them scriptural points that can guard our hearts and minds. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. 2 points, I guess, because I believe often peace is, it's a mind thing. And what I mean by that is so often if we allow ourselves, we can tend to let our mind get away sometimes. And he says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Realize, first point, God has a purpose. God allows things in our lives for a purpose. It doesn't matter what it is. He has a purpose. He has a reason. You know, that father that sent them, feeling he was doing the right thing, sending them ahead, get them out of the country quicker. And he finds out that I just think of myself, you could crucify yourself for the rest of your life. You know, if only I had done something different. But to face it with peace, realizing God had a plan. Psalms 103, let's jump into the Old Testament for our second point. And this is strictly God is in control, I believe. Everything he does happens for a reason. The Lord, Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. God is in control of what happens. Have you ever, I think over my life, I've questioned God. I've asked him, where are you? Why did you allow this? But can I rest in the fact, can I come to peace with the reality that God is in control? God will work out his will in every situation. But if we are at one in Christ and he is in our life, his indwelling presence, his Holy Spirit will bring comfort, it can encourage, and it assures us through trials, I believe. Sometimes when I'm facing something hard, do I realize each one of us? Can I take it maybe as a challenge? God wants to see if I'm going to keep peace in my heart. Genuine peace only comes as a result of a close, intimate relationship with Christ. It comes through prayer. It comes through spending time in his word. It comes through singing. It comes through our brothers and sisters. Matthew 6. Just a comforting verse sometime to read if you're struggling. Matthew 6, let's read verse 25 here first. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? And let's jump down to verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. In other words, we could read all those verses. He takes no thought. He says, what you should eat, what you should drink, what you should be clothed. In other words, can I trust my life into Christ's hands? It's not natural. It's not the way this world is, or at least America is set up. We don't just look for what we need today. We prepare for next year. And so it's hard for us when things seem out of control sometimes. You know, when our finances, we know unless God works something out, it's not going to work out. And I think it's good for us all to go through those times and we pour it out before God and say, it's in your hands, Lord. Because he says there's really no reason to be anxious. You know, where we make mistakes, can we admit them and can we move on? Or we're willing to do what God wants us to do maybe to solve that. More often, though, I believe in my life, our problem isn't that God can't give us peace through those times. It's we're unwilling to trust him usually. That's what I find. Just several points. And we talked about this one a little bit, but Christ's peace is not of this world. What the world calls peace is very shallow. You know, I think you read on the news, you know, Trump and some of them are meeting, having these, whatever they're called, these peace meetings anyhow, trying to bring peace in Ukraine. And that would be a blessing. It would be wonderful because I feel for those, there's many believers in Ukraine that are suffering. We don't know about Russia because we don't hear much about what happens in Russia. But both sides, I'm sure there is believers. But even whatever they bring, it may end war, but will it bring peace? And I mean everlasting, true peace. One reason that peace is so unattainable in this world is it's usually classed with things. And you don't have to have very much stuff, and you soon realize that peace doesn't come with things. It doesn't come with money. It doesn't come with status. It doesn't come with things. They're easily lost, and we soon find they don't satisfy. You get something, and soon you want the next better thing. You know, I'll keep moving because we have a little bit more to cover. But peace can only be found, and it's a relationship with Christ. Christ gives us a sense of, he gives us direction, he gives us purpose, he gives us acceptance. My next point is Christ is the sustainer of our peace. John 16:33, if you want to turn there a while. You know, Christ said he would send us his Holy Spirit. And that's how we have a comfort. We have someone that is there for us. But there in verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So did Christ say that, you know, we're not going to have hard times? No. He said you're going to have tribulation. And he didn't say he's going to take us out of it, but he says, in me you might have peace. Peace only comes from one that indwells. There's no outward thing that we can get that will bring peace. Our victory in troubling times is sure because he will lead us in every situation. His Holy Spirit will guide us. There's no limit in Christ's peace. There's no, you reach a certain point, now you're going to have to figure it out from here. And I believe our love is demonstrated, our appreciation for that, by our willingness to obey Christ, to obey his commandments. When we face a challenge, there's different ways to look at things. But I think, you know, what would the story be like that we had in Sunday school if Joshua would have first went to the Lord and asked him? You know, I thought about that. Our first response in any situation should be to seek God's thoughts. Seek his desires, his purpose with this situation. And then follow his instructions. And it's easy to say that, but how do we follow Christ's instructions? His instructions are in his word. That he speaks through his brotherhood, through the church. And I believe as we respond in faith, respond in peace, respond right to God's word, his peace enters our hearts and replaces anxiety. A couple points now quickly. How can we lose our peace? Because we can. We as Christians can lose our peace. I have, and I'm sure each one of us could relate to that. But number one, sin. Sin is the first thing that the way we can lose our peace. Maybe rebellion in my life towards whatever, towards whoever. It creates maybe strife and a distance between me and my brother, but most of all between me and Christ. And sin does that. Sometimes not really the sin itself, those minutes of whatever that we're doing, but it's our conscience that works afterwards that doesn't allow peace. And we can thank God for that, a conscience that works. But conviction, peace evaporates. So many of the things that are offered as peace in this world, that show peace, you know, tend to come at a price because of sin. Next one, I believe, would be unbelief. And there's other things that you could put in here, but these are just 4 points I thought of. And I want to read for this one, Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Just a beautiful promise. So often we doubt God's promises. I know I struggle with that sometimes. I allow maybe uncertainty of the future. You know, I'm worried what's going to happen for my family, for the church, for my livelihood. But can I take that verse there as a promise? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And there's something about that verse just that I want you to take note of. The peace that we receive will only be to the level that we believe in God. You look at that. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In other words, we have a part in that peace. We have to believe. We have to realize that God can conquer. God can supply. The third one would be worry. We worry. I worry. Everyone worries. You talk to anyone and they're worried about the stock market. They're worried about the cattle prices. They're worried about everything. Their spouse. Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Beautiful promise from Christ. Take no thought. Christ said that. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. I'll take care of that. Let's talk about today. My fourth thing would be maybe mistreatment. And there's different ways to look at that. I was thinking of maybe someone that mistreats me. Each one of us feels at times that we're mistreated. Someone doesn't understand us. Someone judged me wrong. Someone doesn't understand. Criticism hurts. It does. To be criticized for whatever, it hurts. Do I allow criticism to threaten my peace? I believe Christ said it numerous times that our peace can't be taken unless we allow it. Instead of believing an unkind word, turn to God's promises. We'll wrap it up here. Just what is our response? You know, we covered a lot of different points, I guess. But this morning, if you have a personal relationship with Christ, you will have peace. You will. And if you don't have peace, it's up to you to figure it out. Because Christ said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you bring everything to him in prayer, with thanksgiving, his peace surrounds you. And Philippians 4, verse, I didn't write it down. Well, there it is. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let's just stop there. Let us read verse 7 with it. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I like that. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And if you stop there, you know, we should be able to go to God with everything, it sounds like. He says, he puts that little insert, with thanksgiving. Have you ever cried out to God and judged God with a thankful heart? Not very easily. It's hard to judge God with a thankful heart. And that challenged me. This morning I read that verse and I just thought about that. So many times I come to God with a lot of concerns, a lot of things that work me up about everything. But am I thankful for the victory? Am I thankful for my brotherhood, for my family, for food, for Christmas, all of it? Am I thankful? It's hard to be at peace and be unthankful. All other sources of peace will fail, but Jesus indwelling in you will bring peace. Look to Christ, read his word, and most of all, maybe watch him work in your life when you're submitted to his will. And I believe our hearts can be calm. Our hearts can be at peace this season in every situation, whatever it is. But most of all, this season, let's share Jesus Christ's peace. Let's share the Prince of Peace with our neighbors, with our family, friends, with our brotherhood. Let's let the Prince of Peace be here. May the Lord bless. We'll have a song. We'll ask Brother Jess to close.